Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Hey, our special guest today, she's about to school us on how to bring out the best in our dogs. And she boldly declares the key to success is to focus on pet parenting and not dog training. Her approach, I think, is refreshing and much needed. Please welcome to our show the author of a must-get book. It is called Don't Train Your Dog. She is Angie Winters. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. It's a big, long subtitle. Everybody, I'm going to take two breaths. Here we go. Don't Train Your Dog, a pet parenting guide to teaching good behavior, calming fears, and raising happy dogs. You said it, girl. You had me at don't train.
Got to cover everything. You know, it's got to cover everything, you know, that anything that the parent might need. So
that's right. And now as we live in the post-COVID time and we have all these pandemic dogs running around, this is a book that is so timely. We're going to dig into the book after we take this quick break. And you all know the drill. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I'm so excited to have Angie on our show because, in her own words, she has studied, raised, and rehabilitated more than 1,000 dogs. And she has a new book out. It's called Don't Train Your Dogs. She hails from the fine state of Ohio. And Angie, just as a little background, tell us about, you have a site called Parenting for Dogs. Is that correct? And it's the letter four. So people want to know a little bit of your background. So you're in Ohio. You are dog's best friend and hopefully keeping sanity for pet parents.
Yes. I guess that, you know, it's hard to believe even for me, but the story starts 28 years ago where I really just started volunteering to help some dog rescues. I didn't belong to any rescue. I just helped them with behavior because I had already with my own dogs realized there were things that needed to be fixed in family life that dogs didn't understand with typical training. So I had this initial, you know, aha moment about, oh, now this is what's causing that. And then fast forward many, many dogs and many, many parents later, from working in the rescue world, the training world, the, you know, understanding what the vets and the medication and how that plays in, understanding shelters, everything, I was able to see this big picture. And so I started bringing just the worst of the worst cases to my house, not doing any just regular training, just bringing for rescues these dogs that had already were scheduled for euthanasia due to, you know, extreme behavioral problems where they just couldn't be in anybody's house. So by figuring that out, which was extremely challenging, but I can't stand to watch suffering. I was, you know, I was like, I got to help this. And so I was compelled to do that, but I was raising two kids.
Well, you got to give a shout out to your boys. Come on, they're going to listen.
Yes, their entire childhoods were wrapped up in this, bringing dog after dog after dog. And I'm really proud to say that, you know, they have grown into, you know, wonderful young men, and they actually help with dogs and help with parenting for dogs now. And they work in video and the tech world and organic farming and everything. So
say their names, because they're going to be wanting to hear mom.
Yes, it's Jake Winters and Griffin Winters.
Okay. I'm glad you remember your kids' names.
Well, I'll tell you that I constantly call them the wrong name all the time anyway in busy family life. So that this won't be a surprise to them.
Okay.
Names. So the end result is, when I started seeing this and I was seeing that the dog training world was causing parents to be paralyzed, and they are either doing no rules or because they're afraid to make a wrong move. You know, either it's too firm, obedient, strict, or it's too over permissive. And then they just got their hands tied. And now this dog's being surrendered, and, you know, the rates were skyrocketing. So, and they were losing their homes. And I'm seeing it in everyday life. I'm working with people. But I go in and use these different techniques and explain to parents more practical, simple things, but they're from a parenting perspective, not from training a domesticated or wild animal. That's where it gets off, is because we've been taught this mentality of, but really, dogs are so emotionally entwined with us and so intellectual that these things not only just fall short in teaching them, they actually cause confusion in the long run.
Exactly. And you actually have your book, which I like, Don't Train Your Dog. You have it divided in two sections. You have the first is all about dog parenting, and you say proclaimed and explained. And then in the second, everything is going to be okay. I love that. So I want to dive into this, because you talk about the different styles of dog training. You say there is the authoritarian, the all positive, and the one you really want, which is a firm but supportive parental guidance. So dive right in. All right. I'm the boss. Why does that not work as an approach to having a relationship, a real relationship with your dog?
So the reason why that doesn't work, or that falls short, because it doesn't teach. It's not about learning moments, okay? It's about you obeying me. So the same reason why that doesn't work with children is the same reason why it doesn't work with dogs.
Exactly.
So, you know, this balance with children, which is, you know, we pretty much as a society understand that, you know, the kids need firm but supportive guidance, okay? So there are certain safety rules and rules that have to be, but they're taught in a way that's supportive. And it isn't this punishment after the fact kind of thing. That doesn't teach. You know, focus is on teaching. So that's just like dogs. It's just that the way you provide this firm, supportive guidance to dogs is different than you do it with kids. So that's why I make that distinction, because they both need parented. Okay. Because my definition of parenting is providing love, support, and guidance to vulnerable members of a family.
So they both need that, right?
But how you do the actual guidance with dogs in everyday modern life is different than you do it with kids.
But on the flip side, and I've been through a number of classes where it seems like I have to bring in a big old bucket of treats. And it's like, good sit, treat, good look at me, treat. What's the danger of that all positive, or you call it too permissive style of approaching to bring out the best in a dog?
Right. So the reason why I call it too permissive, I mean, I'm super positive with dogs. Everything that I do, no abuse, it's positive. But where they make the mistake is to consider just treats and distractions are going to be able to teach family life skills. So, and it actually muddies the water for parents, because when they first see, you know, sit for a treat, because dogs are so intelligent and they're so intertwined with us, of course, they're going to learn it. Sit for, and then they're like, look how smart he is. This communication's going great. But then either the trainer leaves, and then the behavior starts going off the rails, because parents are led to believe that they can teach these family skills that are, you know, don't bite kids, don't run out the door without, you know, in front of a car without being told you can leave. They think they can teach those the same way they taught the tricks, and nothing could be further from the truth. And so therefore it starts this decline where they have nothing else to work with, and that they are told that dogs are going to be hurt by teaching truly what isn't allowed. But I've developed everything into very simple recipes and prescriptions for parents.
Yeah, in your graphics, the book's about 140 pages, everyone, and it does have prescriptions for things. It does have these recipes for success. But you also, because we live in the digital age, talk a little bit about, you also offer another thing with your book that people can download. It's a companion.
Yeah, it's a digital companion to the book. So I think this is probably the first book or the publishers, and I mean, nobody else seen it, but done this way, but we have developed a digital companion to the book. It's not an ebook.
You have a QR code, right?
You have a QR code in as you're reading the book, you can scan this QR code and you can go to the digital companion. So the things I've just told you, that here's this recipe and here's how it works. If you want to see that happening in real life, because you want that extra, you know, educational avenue, all parents can go there and they get access to that with the book, that they can see it being done in real life with different dogs, different ages. These are recipes that work with all varieties of dogs. It's not
like that. Yeah. All ages too.
Yeah. Parents have lost hope. And so when you lose hope, that's when dogs start getting surrendered. People get injured. Dogs, you know, dogs don't have a fair chance to learn. And then life gets busy. And then everybody's like, you should never give away your dog. Of course, I never would. I never have. And I advocate for that. But it's like, if a dog is biting a kid, and you're raising three kids and you can't do anything about it, they're eventually going to lose their home.
Exactly. Hey, we're speaking with Angie Winters. We're going to dive in a little bit more. We got to take a quick break. But she is an author of Don't Train Your Dog. I want you to check it out. Also, her website is Parenting for Dogs with the letter 4 in there. So check that out. But we're going to take a quick break. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to the O Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I like that you're being refreshing, as I said, and practical. Parents don't have a lot of time, whether they have kids or dogs, both. But you said something in the intro I really appreciated. You said that don't be handcuffed by indecision.
So we love our dogs and we want them to live the best life. And parents get handcuffed because if they only have to choose between all this noise in the dog training world, which is what I'm doing, is my book cuts through that noise and gets right to parents. And says, here, there are other options. Just because you haven't seen it in the typical dog training world that are fighting each other and parents are getting caught in the crossfire of all these attacks on each other. So that's rendering parents paralyzed, what I call parental paralysis by analysis. So then you don't make a move because you're afraid that it's going to cause your dog to have fear or aggression, or you're afraid that they'll be, you know, turn into a Tasmanian devil, you know, if you don't give them any. So therefore, parents either do two things, and I've just been doing this for 28 years. This is why I know. It usually comes down to two things. They either give up and don't try to do any rules, which goes off the rails and causes fear and aggression to develop, or they try to do too many strict rules and try to turn them into obedient robots, and that doesn't work either, which creates fear and ultimately aggression. So this is common sense, practical advice that goes against the, you know, billion-dollar typical dog training world. I'm just saying. I mean, I didn't choose this path myself. Like dogs, because of my work with dogs, because of the things that have happened to me in my life, I mean, this was chosen for me. And so then when I feel like I owe it to dogs, you know, I'm not a big dog training, you know, business or make a bunch of money or even want to be in public life. I'm only doing this for dogs and for parents. And so It is direct.
Well, and it's coming from the heart, and you are using passion, which is good. Your book is well written. It's very practical. It's very conversational. And you said, you know, I did this because of dogs. So I know he's up in dog heaven right now, but who was Hustle, and how was this dog an inspiration to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like the loss of him 3 years ago is like, it seems like the pain doesn't dull the tiniest even amount, which you'd think it would dull a little bit, but it hasn't at all for me. And you're actually very good at your job. I could tell you've been doing this for a long time because you're actually the first one that's asked me about him.
Hustle's important.
I appreciate it. He is very important. And, you know, I owe it to him to keep going with this work because he dedicated his whole life.
What kind of dog was he in his personality?
Border Collie.
Okay. Oh, so he was kind of dumb. I'm just teasing all you Border Collie people out there.
Yeah. Yeah. He couldn't put two and two together.
Yeah. No, but he could build a bridge.
He gets extremely smart. And, you know, but what's amazing is like, he was very smart. Okay. Obviously, you know, he's a genius in the dog world, but by parenting him with this approach, it allowed him and me to see the full extent that all dogs can develop self-control, can come up with ideas and choices on their own. And he would come up with ideas about the third dog we had brought in of these extreme dog cases. He decided that he and I were partners. Like, I didn't try to get him to be involved in it. He decided, he knew that we were what we were doing. And it was literally like intuitively, he knew that he was going to help these dogs. And he started at such a young age. And I did it for so many years that it was just like, that was his life's work. And I just can't even imagine like the amount of dogs that he saved and the insight and the things that he taught me. So I owe it to him also to keep going with this, regardless of the challenges. And
well, you put in your book, you say that you need to look at it from a human-dog symbiotic relationship. And I have a dog, Kona, a terrier mix, and she's the most intuitive dog I've ever had. She helps me teach pet first aid and other things. I jokingly say we finish each other's sentences. I can just look at her and I feel it. And I think maybe because of some of your methods that you advocate, I'm not a drill sergeant to Kona, and I'm not a woozy, 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 woozy to Kona. It's like I'm kind of in the middle. I'm like, hey, let's do this. And you say too in your book, we really have to pay attention to the cues of the dog, because they really are communicating. It is not a one-way communication, right? So
right.
Expand on that, because we need to listen to them.
Yes, because this will tell you everything you need to know.
But still buy her book.
Yeah, this will tell you everything you need to know and to make you realize I have to buy that book, because this is cutting edge thinking on, like, this is a break. I mean, I've been doing it for 28 years. It's just now society has done this dog training thing and we've been born with this and it's been beaten into our heads for so long. They're just now realizing they've gotten to the point where they know it's not working, right? It's just too many problems. If it was working, dog behavioral problems and shelters would be going down. It wouldn't be going up. So when dogs are born with us, they're born entangled with us because, you know, studies show they're born, they know to read our face. They know to everything that we can use our finger pointing and looks on our eye movements, and they will exactly know where to go to locate an object. So that's your first clue. When a tennis ball runs under the couch, right, they immediately, if they can't get it, they immediately look to you for help. Right. So, but they're born with that. They don't learn that. So that tells you they're born entangled with us. So here's how they're communicating with us. They already know this, right? They communicate with us on that level. And we go like this, down.
And you want to say dumb to you, parents, to us two-leggers. Yeah, you're right. It's like, wait a minute, stop and read the dog. The dog is talking. The dog has the floor.
Right. And it's like, when people see this information, that's what they always say. They're like, and then they see it work. And luckily, I was uniquely in a position to, because I documented all this because I had some experience in the video world. So I documented it at 2 a.m. Everything I was doing with these dogs, it started out doing it just so I could give it to rescue people so they could help, you know, do what I was doing when I realized I was discovering some solutions. So it started as that, but then they became this gold that I had this, all this video and all these notes and folders. I've now skipped down 20 years.
Book was ready to percolate. You actually have, and I love this, you talk about doggy rights and you say, 1, respectful treatment, 2, be included, and 3, feel safe. Please, can you put that as a tattoo on everybody's forehead? I'm just kidding.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and the reason why, and people, but with the dog training mentality leads you to believe that these things that you think are making them feel safe don't feel safe, right?
Give me an example.
So let's give this is a very dramatic example of the difference. And it's easier for people to understand because everybody has this thing about the crate. Bring up the crate and everybody's like, oh God, please don't talk about the crate.
Crate is great.
Yeah, crate is great. But the way it's presented with typical dog training, most often, now if you start with puppies, sometimes you can keep, but a lot of times it still goes off the rail. But I have, in my experience, I have had hundreds of dogs, and you can see it on video that this works on every dog. And the reason why it works is because typical dog training, I say, what do you do when the dog's afraid of the crate or won't go in the crate? Well, then I have him perform a down. I have him sit and give him a treat by the crate. I have him then get in the crate and perform a down and give him a treat. It's like, well, what if that won't happen? Then the human starts getting frustrated. The dog trainer starts getting frustrated. And the dogs are reading that frustration all over your face. You can't hide that. So then you're like, I got to walk out the door and this dog's not getting in the crate. So then the frustration is going to come. It's set up to fail.
Okay.
My crate program and my crate recipe does not even involve the human. You preset these parameters and I set this thing up, which needs to be read in the book just for safety. You got to set this up safe and that you're always with them, but you're not involved. Like you're sneaking to looks to see if they do, but you're encouraging them just by treats that just fall into this crate magically. It has nothing to do with you. That's what the dog has to believe, that you have nothing invested in it getting in the crate. No human emotion can be brought to it.
This is really pretty big stuff here, Angie.
Yes, it is. And it's like, this isn't just play on words saying parenting. This isn't a play on a popular pet parenting word. This is reality of everyday life that works. The book does cover big perspectives of dogs and that they have a right to be included and they can't learn the skills to be included when they're removed or when they're just being taught down and stuff like that. And they need to be shown that kids can run around, things can get loud. They need to truly be able to feel good about those things so that they can be included instead of being removed, and just causes the problems to be worse. For the reasons why you want to remove them, it causes it to get worse, not better. They have to be in that spot to learn.
Well, you also say kids are kids, you know, but dogs can be a little bit like kids. You said that, you know, they do have moments of mischief and mayhem. Their brains are still forming. You've raised two boys. Come on, Mom. Let's talk.
Right. So, and this is how I compared it, because my home life was the same, but all the dogs' problems were different. But then I kept applying the same family home life and guidance to it. That's how I figured it out, that it would work on all this stuff, because dogs are less psychologically complicated than humans are, obviously. And they, once they trust and respect you and you set up a parameters for them, they change fast. But typical dog training leaves them in years and years and hundreds of repetitions saying this is going to work, and it doesn't work. Ultimately. So the reason why kids and dogs, they both need communication, they both need guidance, but they need it at different times in different ways. Like, you know, you must time your communication to the dog and then time your communication to what a child can understand, which is a little bit later. You can expand on more, you know, gray areas. Dogs, it has to be black and white guidance that makes sense to them according to their wiring in their brain and their relationship with you at the moment the thing is happening or that they're feeling that thing. And they will believe you when you say, oh, no, that wasn't anything bad that kid did. He didn't mean to do anything. Lay it down. But you must end on a good note. All those experiences must end on a good note for them not to cure fear.
We have just a few minutes left, but I do want you to address, because you have these thermometers in your book, a fear thermometer. And there's a lot of dogs that have separation anxiety, especially pandemic dogs, that now people have gone back to work and things like that. But talk about the effective use of having like fear thermometers in your book or prescriptions, you know, for recipes. I mean, it's sort of like, talk about that, because I feel bad for dogs that get adopted and the people go to work and then the dog is like, they left me.
Right. Right. I mean, it's like, yeah, they have a right to be included, but they also, we must prepare them to be alone. And, you know, and they have to feel good about resting alone and understand that it's a logical part of the daily routine. And dog training doesn't teach them that. But
this is so important. No, seriously, what you just said, we are redoing our living room. We have no furniture in it right now. It is drywall and hanging fans. And that's right to the front door. And Kona and Emma, my two dogs, always would sit on top of the couch through the curtains and wait for people or do whatever. They don't have that option because there's no furniture. So I put in their big doggy square foam bed in the living room and we snuck
exactly
around and looked, and they were both sleeping on the dog bed in the empty living room instead of in our bedroom with the TV on, because I had to think about
their
them,
routine.
Right?
Right. Yeah, that's the routine. It's just like a two-year-old, you know, in essence, they remain perpetual two-year-olds in our modern day life. So, and a two-year-old loves its routine, and dolls want to do the same thing at the same time with the same stuff in the same order.
Good. That's what I was hoping to get out of you.
Tapping into that is how, you know, once you guide them into saying, no, this is just a routine we do. That's never going to be allowed, but this is allowed, and here's how we do it. Once they get that down, you don't have to be worried about it anymore because they perform the routine that gives them comfort. And, you know, they move around with confidence when they truly know what's allowed and what's not allowed. They move around with confidence and they'll just enact this routine. But people almost don't believe it. They say, that seems like magic. That can't be that simple. It can't be that practical. And it's like, well, it is.
And you heard it first from Angie Winters. Hey, Angie, what's the one thing you think dogs have done to make you a better human?
Well, dogs are the purpose of my entire life because it's a long personal story, but I was the recipient of a miracle. And I know that the dogs are the reasons why I got a second chance at life. I mean, I faced my death.
Oh, come on. You can't just say that.
I know. It's like the personal part's hardest for me to talk about. But the only reason why I talk about it is because it's important, because people understand that the only reason why I'm doing this is to repay dogs and to make things better for dogs. And so I say to them, if you felt dogs saved your life, or you know dogs saved your life, and the work you were doing with them, and that you were finding solutions that you could keep dogs in their home and stop the suffering and make everything better for parents, and you believe they saved your life, could you quit?
No.
No, I can't quit. So it's like there's hard, dark times and dark days and everything, but dogs have taught me everything that I needed to know, including my dog Hustle, helped teach me what I needed to do. They've taught me what humans need to do and what they need from humans. And so I can't stop. I have to keep spreading the information no matter what it takes.
Well, you are, as my motto is, bringing out the best in pets and their people. And that's what your mission is. And that's why I'm so honored to have you as a guest on our show. Tell people again the title of the book and how they can get the paws on it.
You know, so the book is Don't Train Your Dog, and it's available at Amazon, but you can also go to our website as parentingfordogs.com, and the social media is, it's been Angie for Dogs for a long time, also with the number 4, so there's a combined branding going on now where we're shifting to focus and to create all our content around this new, very practical book of parenting, Don't Train Your Dog.
It's absolutely one of my favorite dog books, and I've written a few and I've read a zillion. So I was so happy to have you on because you're bringing parenting skills into the world of dogs and pups, and we need that.
That's a compliment coming from you, for sure. I appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. At this time, I also want to give a shout out to my producer. Now, his last name is Winter. Our guest name was Angie Winters. But Mark Winter is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio, the largest radio network about pets on the planet. Please check out the other shows on our network. You want to follow me? Easy. My mom gave me a weird name. It's ardenmore.com. Get my newsletter. We get prizes and good tips in it. And one of my passions is teaching you how to save your pet's life. And I'm a master instructor in pet first aid. I team up with my dog, Kona, and yeah, a competent orange tabby named Casey, and we teach veterinary-approved classes in a very fun way. So go to petfirstaidforyou.com. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just 2 words to all you 2-, 3-, 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.